Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 123 in the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 22, during a discourse that Jesus Christ is having with some of the extremists among his own people. And mind you, these are members of his wife, of his people. And you don't see him lash at them or, you know, yells at them and, you know, and using that haughty and arrogant attitude that some people would have. You know, I'm the Son of God. Whom do you think you are? I'm going to bring fire down from heaven and consume you. You don't see any of that. He realizes what happened to their minds, what happens to their heart, and who is behind it. And again, you know, in accordance with the plan of God, you see, not that he desires for them to be in that category, but, you know, they have chosen to be the kind of people that they are. Well, God concludes them in blindness, in essence, to protect them from total destruction. And so he's revealing to them, in spite of their attitude, an awful lot of divine truth, heavenly matters, so to speak. And they obviously don't get it. But nevertheless, this is what he says to them. And verse 22, as we read last time, he's speaking about the mere fact and the reality that he is the judge of the whole earth because the Father gave it to him. And obviously, no human being can be in that office, but only a divine being. And so, in every single of these, you know, statements, you see him declaring his divinity. And obviously, people who are blind and deaf and cannot understand, they can read through that and still don't get it. And so, in verse 22 again, for the Father judges no one. You see, he's not the judge of the whole earth, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So here, he is the Son of God, a divine being, the Redeemer of Israel, their judge. You see, he's going to stand in judgment of them in the day of judgment, and they still don't get it. You know, when you're blind, you're blind. No matter how much you attempt to show somebody, you know, different colors, a blind person can't see. And if you're a deaf person, you see, a person can talk to you and do whatever, you're not going to hear. And that was, unfortunately, their problem. But the reality you have to understand, at the same time that he's speaking to them, all the multitudes that do believe, that have faith, that do understand, his disciples are there, and all those who are going to read about it, as it was recorded later on by John, you see, are going to benefit from it. And so you have to look at the entirety of the scenario. And he's speaking, in essence, to all of us, all of humanity, every single one, including those people in the end time when their eyes are open, the second resurrection, and they would read these words here and they would understand it then. And they would realize that they were blind, you see, before, and God had mercy on them. And when you look at that from that point of view, you begin to develop a different appreciation and have a right perspective, a proper perspective about this whole scenario that is happening here. And so he's making it very plain. He's a judge of all. And the day will come when they're going to stand before his judgment seat, and then they would remember what he told them. And they would believe then. And so he says, all judgment was committed to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Again, he's speaking about his divinity. Because you can never honor someone just like God unless he is a divine being too. You see? So he's no ordinary people. He's not a person. He's not just a prophet. He's, in essence, saying that the Father wants all human beings to honor the Son just like they honor him, because they are on the same level. Even though, in terms of authority and power, Jesus Christ made it very plain, my Father is greater than I. He's the El Elyon. He's the Most High. You see? And there are no two Most Highs. One is the Most High and one is under him. And yet both of them are divine beings. Just like you have, you know, a president and a vice president. Or you have a father and you have the elder brother. You see, the father may be the head of the company. Or the emperor and his son. You see, he's right under him. He's sharing the same power, the same glory and majesty. You see, and if he does whatever the father wants him to do, and he gives him the permission, you see, then you might say, when you talk to the Son, it's as if you have talked to the Father. And so it is here. And so for people who have a difficult time understanding it and claim, well, Jesus Christ never said he's God, well, he said it again and again and again and again. But, you know, if people choose to be blind, well, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not for them anyway to understand or to know at this time. And so this is what he's saying here, that all should honor the Father, the Son, and if they don't honor the Son, obviously, they do not honor the Father. That's what he says here. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I said to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. That's ultimately speaking. And shall not come into judgment, that means condemnation, but has passed from death into life. Even though physically we're all going to die, it says, time goes by, but there would be a resurrection, and since people have decided, the ones that have decided to follow God and serve God and believe God and worship God and obey God and honor God and do all those things, even though they may, you know, die physically, they will have eternal life. And obviously, that's in the resurrection. And most assuredly, verse 25, I said to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Again, as we mentioned earlier, as in John chapter 1, we read that statement that no man has ascended up to heaven but the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Why? Because when we die, we go to the grave and we stay there until God resurrects us in the last day, in the judgment day, for the saints at his coming, and for all mankind who ever lived who did not serve God and were not of God in the second resurrection. You see? And Christ repeated it several times, himself in person. His disciples repeated that, as we shall read later on in the book of Acts, where Peter is saying to the whole congregation, they all know it, because the doctrine of heaven and hell was not a part of the Jewish faith of the time. That came later on. Was introduced by Philo, you know, from the pagan world, the Greek world that he followed. Plato and others, Socrates, and you know, all those people that he followed. He was a Hellenist, in essence, you see. But at this point, nobody in the Jewish community believes in that lie, that when you die, you go to heaven, or when you die, you go to hell. And yet all those people that claim to be followers of Christ, you know, they say, well, Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, he's my Redeemer, you know, I'm his servant, I'm his minister, I'm his whatever, in whatever office, you know, the Pope, Vicar of Christ, Cardinal, Bishop, Evangelists, ministers, and all those things, pastors, you know, whatever titles they have in the other churches, patriarchs, you see, monks, and they're all believing lies, teaching lies, walking in lies. They are in darkness, and yet they claim to be in the light. And they all believe that when you die, you go to heaven. Okay, you got all those fables and all the stories about Peter and the pearly gates, and Mary, you know, the Queen of Heaven, sitting right up there, you know, with Jesus Christ and the Father, and they pray to her and talk to her, a non-existent person, because she's dead, in the grave, not conscious. A spirit is with God, but, you know, just like electricity. That's all it is. She needs a body for that electricity to function together with the body, and then she becomes a living being. And Christ made it plain again and again and again. So this is what he's saying to his own people, and they had no issue with that. Nobody ever gainsaid, you know, whatever he said here, because that was a common knowledge in the Jewish community. They all knew that in the resurrection, that's when everybody comes back to life. That's why in the Transfiguration, the disciples, they did not understand. It says there what the resurrection is all about. They know that, you know, when you die, you're dead. You go to the grave. But they did not understand how the resurrection takes place. How does it happen? You see, they did not fully comprehend that vision which they saw at that time, the vision of Jesus Christ, Elijah, and Moses. But here he makes very plain, most assuredly I say to you, if you're listening, that's to you. And for those who supposedly were Christians and supposedly were reading the Bible, supposedly claiming, you know, the New Testament was their Bible and Jesus Christ is their God, This is what your God is saying to you, and you don't believe him, and you call him a liar. Instead, you follow the false prophets that you have, and you call them the angels of light, ministers of righteousness, not realizing they're the ministers of the one who pretends to be the angel of light, the great dragon, the serpent, the devil. You see? That's unfortunately where man is. Most assuredly, he says, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is. What do you mean now is? He's not talking about momentarily, because he was going to be resurrected. You see, 3 days after he was put to death, but all the rest were going to stay in the grave. But, for God, the second is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a second. So it's for him, it's always now, because he inhabits eternity. So he says, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And all that is in the last day. Now, this knowledge was transmitted by Jewish scholars, by the Jews and the Christians that lived in the area where Muhammad was able to go up and down, all the way to Damascus. He was a merchant. And he heard all these things, and he learned from them, and he began to teach it to his own people, and that's what you find in the Quran. Of course, he claimed that God gave it to him. He didn't say God, he didn't say an angel. I mean, he said an angel, actually, but he didn't say Gabriel. But in either case, Muhammad believed these statements. He didn't believe everything else, but he believed this statement and taught it. And throughout the Quran, he makes it very plain. And he's got all the statements about himself, as if God is saying that to him, that he too, like everybody else, is going to go to the dust. He's going to be in the grave. He's going to be in the dirt. He's not going to be alive until the end of days, until the last trumpet. He used that terminology from the biblical teachings. You see, in the last day, in the resurrection. And that's when he's going to rise with all the others and be judged by God based on his behavior on this earth. And all the others will be likewise. And yet, Islam, just like all the other religions, they too, leaned after his death back to their own pagan origin. You see, where they had that doctrine of heaven and hell, and they brought it back into what they, called Islam, you see, and invented all kind of, brought all kind of other things. Well, that's in essence what happened to the Jews. They went to their background of Babylon, out of which God brought them, first Abraham, then after that, when they were into captivity in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, he brought them back, and yet, gradually, they brought back, those concepts and ideas of Babylon, and later on the Greek world, and injected it into Judaism, the rabbinic Judaism, you see. It was a mixture of some biblical Judaism, you see, the law of God, and that's, in essence, what Judaism is all about. It's a mixture of truth and error. It's a product of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so is Christianity. You see, it's holy pagan religion with mixture of some truth, because to begin with, all those people who are in the Christian community, they all know that they were pagans, they were all heathen, all Gentiles. You see, we're not talking about the Jewish followers of Christ, who are all Jews, and were raised by the law of God, but those that came later on, out of the masses, all the nations. Well, they brought the paganism with them. And that's, in essence, what Christianity is all about. You see? That's what it means. Satan deceives the whole world. And people who claim to be intelligent, who go to seminaries, they get PhDs, they study the Bible, they read the statements, and it goes over their head. They don't get it. Because they've got eyes, but they don't see, and ears, and they don't hear, and hearts, and they do not understand. Because God placed a spirit of slumber on all, as he said about his own people in Isaiah 6 and 29. And so they're all blind. And no matter what you tell them, they basically, would say, don't confuse me with the facts. So you can read this one and all the other statements, because Christ is going to repeat it, and still people are not going to believe him. You see? And yet they call themselves his followers, and they call him Lord. That's why he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say? That's a huge tragedy. And yet, again, God allows that. He allows the devil to blind his people, because he reserves all of them in partial blindness, not total blindness, until the time when he comes and binds the devil and his demons and sets his people free. You see, and pours his spirit upon all flesh and heals them and puts his law in their hearts, and Israel shall be his people, and then they shall be the light of all the nations. And no more they are going to teach them lies and deceptions, but only purity of truth. And so again, let's repeat this one. And for those who have ears, you know, not that everybody who's listening to this series is of this category, but, you know, there are those who are, you see. Well, if you have ears, listen. Listen to the voice of the Master, not the voice of the devil and his ministers. Most assuredly, I said to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Because now they're dead, and they don't hear, and they don't smell, and they don't think, and they don't walk, and they don't do anything. They're non-existent. Simple as that. You see? Now, science has no problem with that. And one reason why people who are in science or evolution and things like that, you know, have a disdain and contempt for religion, because there are too many lies in it. You see? But with this one, they would not have a problem. They know that. That's reality. Verse 26, for as a father has life in himself, so he has granted the son to have life in himself. Now, they are eternal. We are not. We have no immortal soul. They do. As Paul at Athens would say, but God, the only immortal, you see, he has immortality. He only has immortality. We don't. When we die, we're gone. We don't exist anymore. Just like when, you know, you cut the wire, you know, that connects the machine to the electricity. Well, it's gone. That's it. No more. You know, you take the plug out, and that's the end of it. Well, that's what happens when God takes away the spirit from us. Just like, you know, taking the plug out of the socket, out of the wall, and the machine is not functioning anymore until he puts it back. You see, the plug is not a person, but it makes it possible for the machine to function and to work. Well, people in their ignorance have never understood it and are not willing to understand it. And so this is what he's saying here. The Father has life in himself. He has life in himself. Verse 27, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That's the reason why God gave the judgment to Jesus Christ. Because not only he's the Son of God, not only he's a divine being, but also he became flesh and blood. So he knows what it means to be in the flesh. Therefore, he can be a merciful high priest and judge us, not only in righteousness, but also in mercy, in compassion, understanding our weaknesses. You see, understanding what the devil had done to us, understanding what he allowed the devil to do to us. You see, because after all, you know, he could have put the devil in prison and all of his demons and pour his spirit upon all flesh and make everybody understand that's it. There would never be any problem. But that's not according to the plan, because there are lessons to be learned. And so he's going to repeat that again for those who have, you know, hard hearings. And no problem to understand. In verse 28, do not marvel at this, because people do to this very day. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, this is where we are when we die. You see, we're not in heaven. We're in the grave. That's what Peter was saying about David. David is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us. For David, he said, has not ascended up to heaven. Well, his people, the people of Israel who were in the temple, had no problem understanding that. That was a doctrine of the people of Israel. That was, you know, you might say, doctrine of Judaism, biblical Judaism. But later on, that was a different story. And so he says, do not marvel, the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Now they cannot, because they're dead. They're not in heaven, they're not in hell. And they will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life. That's when you're going to have life. Now you don't. You see, obviously, you're dead. You know, for those who are dead, that is. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And of course, the day is coming when the eyes of many are going to be opened to realize that. In the meantime, unfortunately, the majority of people who think that they are the servants of Christ, a lot of them are very sincere people, good people, nice people, but nevertheless deceived, because the devil deceives the whole world. And so they've been led by the false prophets, the false apostles, the ministers of the devil who appear as ministers of righteousness, who themselves are being sent by what they think is Jesus Christ, but he's the devil who appears as an angel of light. That's the reason why they believe in all these lies. And so even when they read it in their, you know, with their own eyes, it doesn't penetrate. You see, they don't get it. They don't understand it. So they cannot claim that, well, I never read that, I never heard it. No, when they came to that point, they just explained it away, spiritualized it. You see, statement after statement after statement. You know, Muhammad made dozens and dozens and dozens of statements in the Quran. But the mere fact that nobody is alive after death. You see, this whole Middle East issue that is there is all based on lies in Islam. Had they believed Muhammad, the prophet, they would have not have made Jerusalem a holy city, because he never made it. They would not have believed the lies that people taught, or pagans claiming to be Muslims, that Muhammad, you know, went on his horse and he went to Jerusalem and he ascended up to heaven. You see, those people did not believe Muhammad that taught those lies. And yet they were accepted as, you know, faithful people. And there are statements that even the son-in-law of Muhammad, he called them those cursed Syrians or something like that, you see, because they were just spreading lies. But Jerusalem, it was a political issue at the time, you see. And so it is in other religions. People follow liars, deceivers. They don't check them out. They don't prove them. They don't prove all things according to the command of God. They just follow them. That's how the devil has a very easy, you know, very easy task to deceive the whole world, because he relies on the sheep instinct in people. They're just followers. They don't think. They don't stop. They don't ponder. They don't consider. They don't prove. They don't test all things. Well, if you don't, you're going to go for any given lie. A lot of liars out there deceiving in every given area and in every given whatever. You see, not only in religion, they do it in business, they do it in politics, they do it in everything else, and people fall for it all the time. That's why they go for elections and elect the same kind of people all the time. You see, you pull the rag, that means pull the wool over their eyes. And that's what's happening here. So, if you're in this category, you see, and if you claim to be a Christian, you're a liar. Because Christ said just the opposite. So either you are a liar, or you're saying that Jesus Christ is a liar. It's as simple as that. And that goes for many other doctrines. That's the reason why the pagan church, you know, the great whore, as God calls it, that deceives the whole world, that made the whole world, you know, as God describes it in Revelation, drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornications. Because that's what was a church, that is a fallen church, not the true church, masquerading as the true church, pagan to the core, brought all of his pagan teachings and so-called Christianized them. They took Sunday, made it a Sabbath, day of the Lord. They took Easter, for the goddess Easter, and made it, you know, the Passover, you see. And they took Christmas, where they worship Saturnalia, Saturn, you see, idol worshippers, and they made a Christmas out of it. And they took a statue that was an existent statue of a woman and a child, and they made it Mary, Madonna, and so forth, and the Trinity, and so forth. That's where Christianity is all about. And unfortunately, Judaism is not far behind, because it is full of pagan ideas too, to the core. You see? That's what Christ was saying. The narrow is the road, and straight is the way, and only few will find it. While the many, they're going to be deceived, because many are going out into the world claiming that he is the Christ and shall deceive many. And many in the Jewish community do the same. They go out into the world, in their own Jewish community, claiming that they are the servants of God, and they deceive many. And the whole world is in that predicament. but not for long. And so that's what he's saying here. Don't marvel, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, that's where they are, will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And all those who believe lies, they're not going to be doing good. Obviously, they're going to be doing evil. Cheating, lying, deceiving, you know, believing all kind of lies and calling their God a liar. But the mere fact that they believe lies, the opposite of what he said, what he taught. Verse 30, he says, I can of myself do nothing. He's the Son of God. He's a divine being, but not now. Now he's in the flesh. He emptied himself of his divinity, but he's still the same person, only he's now in the flesh. And as long as he's in the flesh, you know, he's going to get thirsty and hungry, and he's going to die like anybody else. And unless the Father himself, with his eternal life, does what he does through him, Christ wouldn't be able to do anything. And so it goes, how much more for us? So he says, I can do of myself nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Why? Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's the reason why all of us, to one degree or the other, are not judging righteously, because we're seeking our own will. You see? And when people begin to teach lies, as they've always done, being led by the wrong spirits, they were doing their own thing. You see? And they were not doing the will of the Father. Because this truth that he's teaching here is of the Father. That's the religion of God. It's not Christianity. You see? People say, well, you know, we've got Christianity, you've got your Judaism, and you've got your Islam, and you've got, you know, your Buddhism and Shintoism and all that. These are all religions of men with mixture of some truth in it. Some have more, some have less. But nevertheless, they are not of God. They are not of Jesus Christ, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Creator of all mankind. You see? And so, those who have an ear, as Christ would say, let them hear. Verse 31, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. See, that's the Father. Christ never told a lie. The prophets of God never told a lie. Moses never told a lie. You see? Now, the disciples, you know, with the exception that they thought that Christ was coming in their day, and they never told a lie. But many others do. And that's why you've got this Babylon of lies and deceptions that are totally contrary to what God said through his servants. And yet people don't check on them. They just take it for granted. These are the people of God, the servants of God, you know, the rabbis of God, or, you know, the priests of God, or the monks of God, or the Pope of God, cardinals of God, bishops, evangelists of God, and so forth. And they are not of God. Even though they have a measure of truth in them, there is much lies and error in them, and it is contrary to the Word of God. You see? And Christ made it very plain. And we should all know that, that men shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not of men, not of your church, or your community, or of your, you know, religion, or whatever it may be. Only if it proceeded out of the mouth of God, it is true, and if it is not, it's not true. So, all that we can find out, you know, if you go to the Word of God, that looks, you know, this will expose every liar. And these teachings expose, you know, that religion that claims to be, you know, Christian religion. You see, had it been, as they say, you know, this is the Christian Bible, well, they would have believed it. But they don't. You know, sort of pick and choose, you know. Certain aspects they like, and others couldn't care less about. Because that runs contrary to their pagan doctrines. So he said, here, I'm not the one, you know, that inventing all these things. The Father is the one that bears witness. He's the one that taught me all these things. Verse 33, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from men. You see, you went to John, and you accepted, you know, whatever he taught, which was from Moses, which was from God. But he says, I don't go to men for that. You see, I go directly to the source. And he's the one to begin with that gave it to mankind. He says, yet I do not receive testimony from men, but I say these things that you may be saved. I'm telling you that for your own sake. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to, for a time, to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So I don't need to say, well, you know, just trust me, you know, this is my, you know, my credibility, you know, take my word for it. Well, look at the works that I do. That will tell you, you know, where it comes from. And of course, even then, you have to be careful, because there are works that the devil can do too, as God himself made it very plain. So even then, you have to be careful and prove all things, whether they really be of God or of another spirit. Because a lot of demons and the devil himself, you know, they come and masquerade as the servants of God, and they pretend to be of God or angels of God, and they speak lies to people, and people believe it and form doctrines and religions, you see. And people, being superstitious oftentimes, you know, and ignorant and illiterate biblically, do not have the Spirit of God to begin with, well, they go for it. That's why the world is full of lies and deceptions, because many of those things were directly given to man by demons, by the devil himself, you see, and people fall for it and they think it's of God. And so he's making it very plain, whatever he did came from the Father, so it's a religion of the Father. It's not the religion of Christ. It's not Christianity. That's why it is called the Church of God, not the Church of Christ, even though it is also the Church of Christ. It's not incorrect to say the Church of Christ, but when you have to understand that it's primarily the Church of God, because it's the Elohim, the El Elyon, the Most High, the Father of Jesus Christ, who begets us and gives us to Jesus Christ. And if he doesn't beget us, Christ cannot have us. We are not his. You cannot come to Christ and say, well, I accept you. So what? It doesn't mean anything. If the Father hasn't called us, we cannot accept Christ, because he's not going to accept us. And yet the false prophets out there teach all these kind of lies. All you have to do is just, you know, well, sign down here at the bottom. And all this pamphlet that you find on the floor sometimes, on the sidewalk, and put your name there, or you get in the mail, or somebody hands it over to you, and there you are, presto, you are a servant of Jesus Christ. It doesn't work like that. You see, only the fools go for that, and the deceived, you know, as sincere as they may be. And Christ made it very plain, as we shall read later on. And so he says, the Father is the one that sent me, and he bears witness of me, and the work, you know, that he gave me, this bear witness of me. And that's what he's saying here in verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You know, he sent him because he came from him. He came from heaven, and nobody was there but he and the Father and the holy angels. All the rest are dead, all the righteous men that died in the faith. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And you see another lie there that you find in Christianity. They say, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament is the Father. Well, if the Father is the God of the Old Testament, then Moses saw him, spoke to him face to face. And also other personalities like Abraham. He had lunch with him. You see, he talked to him. And Jacob wrestled with him. And many other people that saw him in person. Joshua saw him in person around the city of Jericho, you see. Well, Christ knows what he's talking about. To begin with, he is the one that dealt with all these personalities. And the Father himself was always in the heavens, above the heavens, you see. And he never had personal dealings with humanity, generally speaking. And the only prophet, you might say, that he dealt with was John, for the simple reason that Jesus Christ was going to be born. And therefore, as John said, the one that sent me, he told me that, you know, this is the Lamb of God. But otherwise, Christ was the one that dealt with all the prophets, yet the Father himself nobody had ever seen. And again, if people go to heaven, all those who ever went to heaven before that, all the men of God, all the women of God, you know, they would have seen him. So again, he's repeating the same thing. And it's very unfortunate that people would rather follow the devil and his lies and his deceptions, and they couldn't care less about the source of truth. And in Christianity and in Judaism and in Islam today, and unlike what Muhammad told them, you find this lie widespread. Everybody believes in it. The high and the mighty among them, claiming to be, you know, the great servants of God, And yet they're all a bunch of liars from the point of view of God. And one of these days their eyes are going to be opened, and the eyes of all those who follow them are going to be opened. And just like he told Israel, in that day you shall loathe yourself. And so it's going to happen with all who have followed darkness. And the one that pretends to be the angel of light, and his ministers who pretend to be ministers of righteousness, and they're all of the same spirit. And so it's another case here. And then verse 38, he continues, but you do not have his word abiding in you. The word of the Father. You see, the Father in essence dealt with Israel, but not on a personal basis. As Moses said, that when they were in trouble in Egypt, they cried to God and he sent them an angel to deliver them. The one he sent was the one that became known later on as Jesus Christ. He's the one that dealt with them. He's the angel that appeared in the bush. And he's also Jehovah, eternal, Elohim, you see, El, you know, the Rock of Israel, the Redeemer, and so forth, the Savior, the anointed Savior. And his word, the word of the Father, does not abide in you, he says to his own people. The word that he himself came and brought on Mount Sinai to Israel from the Father. And so he would say exactly to every single Christian that claims to be a follower of Christ and yet denies the law of God, saying that it's done away with. We don't need it. Nailed to the cross. It's old stuff. You know, that's the stuff, the strict laws of the God of the Old Testament, you know, the Father. Well, same thing will be said to them. His word, the word of my Father, does not abide in you. That's why they are members of a pagan religion, thinking that they are the servants of Jesus Christ. And so what he said to his own people is applicable to this very day, to all those who claim to be his servants. And all these people of Judah, his own people, claim to be the servants of God. You see, Jesus Christ, even though they didn't recognize him as such. And so in verse 38 again, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him you do not believe. And that goes again for Christianity, who claim to be believers and followers of Jesus Christ, and yet they despise his teachings, and by their lies and deceptions they call him a liar. When he tells them, no man is ascended up to heaven, no man has heard the Father, you see. And the law should be kept. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. You see? Well, it's the same thing. It goes for them. They do not believe him. They believe on him, but they don't believe him. They don't believe what he says. They don't believe his teachings. Verse 39, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they still do to this very day, both Jews and Christians. These are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. And that's the irony of all those who claim to be followers of Christ. They are not willing to come to him. Because the only way you can come to him is by obedience to his commandments, not rejection of his commandment. You see, not despising his commandments and his teachings, not concocting their own lies and deceptions, not doing away with his teachings about the Sabbath, about holidays, about clean and unclean, about the kingdom, about all kind of things. You see? And people read it all the time. A lot of people hang around, you know, with just one book. They call it the Bible, the book of John, the Gospel of Love. They read these things and they don't believe any of that. How deceitful can human beings be? How blind. That's why he tells, you know, even his own people, one of the churches, you know, you think that you are rich and increased in good and lacking nothing, and you don't realize, you don't recognize it. Here it is. Imagine that, people of God who knew an awful lot of the truth and then knew all these things here, and still he told them, you are blind and naked and poor and miserable and wretched. And to this very day, how much more all those who do not even believe in these statements that we read here and many other places. So people should be searching the scriptures and finding the real Jesus and the real religion of God and the real truth and walk in it. Regardless of what your church teaches you, your pastor, your cardinal, your bishop, your pope, whatever. You see? All men, corruptible flesh. You see? All deceived by the devil. Even though they may not recognize it, and they ascribe to themselves greatness that God never gave them, and they teach lies which are contrary to the words of Jesus Christ, and his disciples, and his prophets, and his apostles, and yet they claim to be the high and the mighty in the service of God, and deceive many. And so I said, you, sir, you know, you look at those scriptures that testify of me and of my teachings, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have eternal life. I do not receive honor from men. That's in essence what all religious leaders receive, their honor from men. You see, from the ones that they who follow them. Their honor does not come from God. God would not recognize them. God says to them, he recorded that long ago. When they come to him, claim that we are your servants too. People who never obeyed God. You see, because to obey partially is disobedience. As James would say, you break one, you break them all. So those people never obeyed God, just like he told his old people, none of you obeys the law. None of you keeps the law. What he means by that? You see, you break some laws, you broke them all. That's what he means by that. He doesn't say you never kept the Sabbath or holidays or clean and unclean and many other things like that. And this is what deceives human beings to believe that they are faithful. They think, oh, you know, I do this and I do that. That's good enough. You see? Well, try to get only a few numbers of the combination. Would you ever, ever be able to open the safe? Of course you would not. You got to have the entirety of the combination. That's as simple as that. Without the entirety of the combination, you cannot open the gate or the door into the kingdom. You cannot enter in. So people should not be playing games. They think, you know, well, just because I don't obey this or that, or just because so-and-so does not do this and that, just because he does not keep the Sabbath doesn't mean he's not a Christian. Well, in the vocabulary of Jesus Christ, he's not. Because when Christ rises up in the morning and goes on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, you got to follow him. And if you don't, you are not of him. If you tell him, you know, sorry about that, you know, that's not for me, that's Jewish stuff, you know. I'm going to work on this day, and on Sunday I'm going to go to my church, and I'm going to serve you there. Well, he's not going to be there. You see? And people are full of deceptions and lies, and unfortunately, until the last day, they are not going to wake up. The majority of them are not, unless God personally decides to deal with them on a personal basis. And so it's going to be until the end of days. Verse 42, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. What is love, as Paul said? What is love? Love is the fulfilling of the Torah. Romans 13, verse 10. That's love. You see? When you fulfill the Torah, you show your love toward him. By this, we know that we love him because we keep his commandments. You read in the epistles of John. There's no other way. If you love me, he told his disciples, keep my commandments. And so he said, this kind of love is not in you. You despise my teachings. You despise my commandments. You invent your own religion, and you claim to be my servants. That problem has always been there with the people of God. It's nothing new. Verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And there are many religions on the face of the earth who follow men, who supposedly, you know, they claim that God revealed himself to them. You see, they have enlightenment. You find them in any given religion, you know, their own concoction of God. And people follow them. They don't follow God. They follow men. In any given religion on the face of the earth today, you follow men. You do not follow God. You see, the religion of God is his way. You have to walk in his way and forsake your ways, and your ways are the ways of the churches of this world and the religions of this world, and whatever fables, you know, they have out there. You see, even the non-religious people, they follow their own religion. They call it by different names. They follow men. They don't follow God. Verse 44, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? He's speaking about his Father. You see, what does it mean, the only God? You know, that means, you know, he's not God. You see? Well, the word God is El, Elohim, plural. And the one that was the father of Jesus Christ, that is the father of Jesus Christ, is called the El Elyon, the Most High God. And Jesus Christ is God, but he's not the Most High God. So both of them are God, but one is the Most High. And so it's talking about God, who is the only Most High God. That's what he means by that, the only God. You see, you have to understand the biblical lingo. And if you do not know the entire story, you're going to be confused by many statements like that. And that's what happened to the Jews when darkness fell upon them. They read many statements in the Bible, and they got confused. You know, when Moses said, "Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Of course he is one Lord. There aren't many husbands that Israel had, only one. You see? But he was not saying that there is no El Elyon, because he is the one that wrote about the El Elyon, that sent that one God that dealt with them to deal with them. And when God says, "I am, there is none else beside me in heaven or on earth," you see, what is he talking about? Well, all the idols that you worship, the sun and the moon and the stars, which are in the stratosphere, you see, they are not gods. The fish that you worship, you know, Dagon and things like that under the earth, or the serpent or things like that, the animals, the creatures that all people worship, they are not gods. Well, anyway, we'll stop at this point again. This is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all.